seriously, life as you know it is over. Thank you. And remember, doof you, doof me, doof us.
I'm Heinz Doofenshmirtz, and I approve this evil message.
Hello and welcome to episode 49 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFJ and Mike, and joining me is Peacock Crow Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Today is the 49th day of summer, and this means it's the day that the GCRN continues our new cartoon review podcast for the summers of 2016 and 2017. Are you ready to celebrate 10 years of Phineas and Ferb? Because the show is 10 years old this year. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I feel ancient.
Yes. Not even the beat can save us from feeling this old.
It's the beak that makes me feel old.
I know, right? So many illusions. But we are here, as always, to talk about Phineas and Ferb, so we're going to get right to it after this.
Here it is. The Phineas and Ferb Edge of Insanity Kiss Your Butt Goodbye Gravity's a Stone Cold Sucker Nightmare Rail Skate Track Obstacle Course of Doom. You ready, Ferb? Oops. You know, it occurs to me we could get hurt. I guess the of doom in the name should have tipped us off. Well, Furbooch, unfortunately, there's only one way down. The stairs.
Okay, Linda, you may feel a little pressure.
There you are, Mom.
Linda?
Phineas and Ferb have built a giant skateboard obstacle course of doom on top of the house. You have to...
Oh, you have got to be kidding me. If you hadn't noticed, I'm kind of in the middle of something here.
Was that even English?
Out.
All right. Jeez, don't take it out on me. I'm the good guy here.
Okay, let's get back to your root canal.
Oh, thank goodness.
Hi, Phineas.
Hey, Isabella. What's up with the getup?
I'm going for my Intrepid Reporter patch. Can I report on what you guys are doing?
Sure.
Cool. Isabella Garcia Shapiro, the Fireside Girl Gazette. What you doing?
Ferb and I have built the ultimate extreme skate track obstacle course.
Awesome! I knew I could count on you for the coolest story ever! Have you attempted a run yet?
Well, we decided we still needed to make a few tweaks and adjustments so we can, you know, survive and stuff.
Okay, I'll be back in an hour. Hopefully I can make the early mid-morning edition. See ya!
Instead of modifying the track, maybe we should modify ourselves. Together we could be the most ultimate skateboarder ever. Hey, where's Perry?
Agent P, we've begun emergency evacuation plan Z Omega. We just received this tape from Doofenshmirtz. Watch closely, Agent P. Then join us in girlish panic if you're into it.
Hey, guess what, Tri-State Area? I, Heinz Doofenshmirtz, have seized control and am now your supreme leader. Seriously, life as you know it is over. Thank you. And remember, doof you, doof me, doof us.
I'm Heinz Doofenshmirtz, and I approve this evil message.
While Doofenshmirtz is in charge, no man, woman, child, or hat-wearing mammal is safe. You must find out how this happened and stop it. Until then, Carl and I will be on the lam incognito.
So as I said, we are going to be talking about The Beak, parts 1 and 2. Basically, this is a super long 30-minute yada yada special that they did. Without commercials, obviously, it's 22, 23 minutes, something or other. Cock-a-poo-poo arrives in Danville to challenge Phineas and Ferb after the boys are mistaken as a superhero while wearing indestructible suit they designed to safely conquer their newly built extreme skate track park Force of Doom, or whatever it is, known as... So their superhero is known as the Beak. With the supervillain wreaking havoc, it is up to Phineas and Ferb to thwart him while Dr. Doofenshmirtz tells the people of the tri-state area that he's in charge and hopes that they will actually just go along with it.
And they do.
Meanwhile, his brother Roger is worried that everyone will blame him for the recent supervillain catastrophe, so he decides to make Doofenshmirtz the mayor. Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. Clearly, it's someone else's fault.
That's right. I think the best part of this episode when it comes to Doofenshmirtz, I'm Heinz Doofenshmirtz, and I approve this evil message.
Not just any message. It's an evil message.
It's an evil message. That's right. So we got the boys. The boys are going to build the ultimate skate park roller coaster track of doom.
What? No, it's better. It's like gravity can kiss my ass. Don't be a giant wuss because you're gonna die. Skate track of doom.
Yeah.
I'm honestly surprised you're not reading it off the wiki, because it's like this 5-minute long diatribe title.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't know. That's...
Trying to find it on the wiki now, aren't you? Oh, there's somewhere. I just called it the Extreme Skate Park.
Yeah.
Because that's what I have. You know, it's the Extreme Skate Park, but it was really long title.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, gravity is for suckers, I think. I forget what it said. It's just like, all right, you ready to try it? And then they kind of nudge the skateboard, and it goes down without them, and it just gets demolished. It's just, skateboard didn't have a chance.
I don't even think Tony Hawk could survive the Phineas and Ferb Edge of Insanity. Kiss your butt goodbye. Gravity's a stone cold sucker's nightmare. Rail skate trapped track obstacle us of doom. I can't even finish the sentence without.
You can't even say it. It's too funny. Yeah, it's that thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gravity is for suck. Gravity's a stone cold harsh mistress. I like that. It's funny. I kind of get the sense that they're trying to talk faster to fit more jokes in.
Yeah. Okay, so all summer they've been building these things, they've been doing all these fantastical things, and they finally build something that would actually kill themselves. I mean, this thing looks just like some sort of, honestly, it looks like something out of Tom and Jerry. Like, you know, it really does. Like, you know, because he always wants to kill the mouse.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this was a little bit scaled back and it had like a little cage that came down at the bottom of it, I would almost say it's a reference to Mousetrap, the old game Mousetrap. But it's like, oh my God. So they actually build something that they can't actually even use because it's so damn dangerous.
I thought it was funny they built it on top of the house.
They didn't build it on top of the house, did they?
It was attached
to the house. You're right. You're right. Yeah.
How could you not notice that? I mean, you really got to be a heavy sleeper.
Hey, leave my sleeping habits out of this.
You're going to walk outside. What the hell is that on my roof?
Well, we've already done Magic Carpet Ride. Yeah, we did the one with, Lawrence's favorite TV show, the guy with the thing and his pants fall down. Because, yeah, we've already done Magic Carpet Ride. And no, I don't mean the Steppenwolf song. Well, you don't know what we can find.
Why don't you come with me, little girl, on a Magic Carpet Ride? You don't know.
That's right.
That's as much as I know of that song.
Yeah.
Just came out.
No, it didn't just come out. What the hell? Oh, God. The reason why I was referencing the one with, you know, where they were emulating Team Improbable. That's what it was, Team Improbable. The one where they're emulating that stuff. The whole second level of the house flips open so the magic carpet can fly out. And Lawrence is like, does the whole second floor of the house fold up like this all the time? And Phineas is like, no, we don't use this often. So, point here is that I forgot that it was actually built into the house. I thought it was just in the backyard.
It's attached.
Yeah.
We need that.
House in the suburbs. 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, 1-car garage, obstacle skate course of doom attached.
Attached, that's right.
Because nobody on House Hunters wants a detached obstacle course of Doom.
Why not?
Yeah. Dare I say, why not?
Why not? So the Intrepid Reporter on the case happens to be
Lois Lane.
Isabella. Exactly. I was going to say Isabella as Lois Lane.
Wow, you just combined Isabella and Lois Lane and called her Lizabella.
Lizabella.
Oh my God.
Lizabella is the new Lois Lane.
Oh my God.
Funny. Lois Lane says, "What you doing?"
If I ever get a, an interview with Dana Delaney, I'm so having her say that.
Doing.
Oh God. But no, this one is awesome. I love this episode. It's just so fun.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. This is funny. I don't want to get ahead of myself, though. So the suit that they make is an athletic ability booster with lots of Bulgarian folk dancing.
Yes.
Yes.
No, we need less Bulgarian folk dancing. Well,
this is funny, though, because Phineas goes on this unusual high-speed rant about all the stuff that's involved, including various types of Bulgarian folk paraphernalia.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, I kind of feel like they told the voice actor, just talk faster. Just talk faster, because we can't fit all this in one episode unless you talk faster.
Hmm. Could be.
You got a lot in there. There's an awful lot of folk dancing. There's a lot of gags that paid off. I thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. And the greatest thing, honestly, is Ferb's silence when he just gives him the look. And he's like, oh... Less. I thought we were totally not on the same page there, Ferb.
I really thought we were on the same level, but I guess not. Okay, all right, fine. It almost sounded like he was like ad-libbing there for a bit, and they just said, yeah, let's use it. You know, he's talking fast enough. We can fit it all in.
Yep, absolutely.
I call this the Iron Man Mark Ferb.
That's true.
Iron Man Mark Ferb armor works great. I love the CCTV view of Ferb whipping around inside. They're going around the obstacle course, and Ferb is just inside the belly going, whipping around back and forth. It's funny. And then, as they get down to the bottom of the obstacle course, they jump the shark.
Yep, they had to.
Jump the shark.
I mean, it's too bad they weren't wearing black leather jackets while doing it, but, you know.
Hey.
That's right. Hey.
Hey. They need a jukebox I can punch.
I know. They need to get that jukebox back from earlier with the princess where Love Handle was in the jukebox.
I forgot about that. That's right. Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. Who doesn't? Anybody that's listening to this podcast that doesn't know what the Ferb a jump the shark references to, then there's if we have to explain that, I mean, come on.
No, not everybody's a Happy Days fan. I mean, we're going way back here.
But this is the Fonz. This is come on. Everybody at least knows that. They may not be a Happy Days fan, but everybody knows that one moment.
Well, you know, we just lost, in real time here, I'm saying, we just lost Batman.
Adam West, yes.
Adam West, 1966 Batman, the best Batman. And, you know, Henry Winkler, he's still alive. I don't know how much longer. Yeah.
Dude, don't jinx it.
Don't jinx it.
So, Doofenshmirtz, he, basically,
oh, there's a B story. I completely forgot there was a B story.
Technically, the Doofenshmirtz stuff is almost a C story, really. because the A story is Phineas and Ferb with the skate park track of doom thing. But because that's not going to work, they turn the suit that they build into a superhero suit. And then Cock-a-Poo-Poo comes in, and he ends up being...
Awful.
He ends up being.
Can you spell that for me? Just, you know.
Really? Seriously? You really want me to?
I want you to spell it out. I want you to spell it out because it's just interesting how they do this.
K H A K A
K H
K H. See, folks, he always bitches at me about going to the wiki, and I just so happened to have the link open, and he wants to know how something is done, and when I sit here and try to tell him, he's like, I don't believe a damn thing you're saying. But look, that's how they spell it.
Oh, K-H-A-K-A.
Yeah, K-H-A-K-A.
Yeah, it's P-E-U, and the U has, like, umlauts over it.
Yeah, it's got the, yeah.
Lot. It's a new lot.
It's kind of like Pepe Le Pew without the P-E-W.
Le Pew had an umlaut? I don't remember an umlaut in Pew.
No. I'm saying caca poo poo. It's pew, anyway. Pew. Oh,
it's like
God.
Pew pew.
Stop destroying church materials.
That's right. Pew pew.
So, anyways, Kaka Poo Poo
pew, pew.
Shows Kaka up, pew. And he wants to destroy Danville because he never got to have a best day ever. With a wife like that, I see why he's never had a best day ever. She always throws chairs at him.
She's throwing chairs at him. I can't believe he got hit by a chair. Thank you very much.
And I can't believe he has to actually take her chair shopping. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I need me some throwing chairs. I need me some more throwing chairs. That's what I need is a throwing chair. I got to go to IKEA, get myself a throwing chair.
That's an expensive-ass throwing chair.
Well, you know. It's got a.
Do you have to assemble the chair?
Booklet, so.
Yeah, I was gonna say you have to assemble the chair. There's some assembly required if you get it from IKEA.
That's right.
I mean, you could just go to Walmart in the summertime and get a bunch of plastic garden chairs.
So I'm surprised Doof was even involved at all here.
Well, okay, but you know, we've always, well, you more than me, have always kind of complained at times how the A story and the B story, or the ABC and C, ABC, D later story, doesn't really all fit in logically. And this is a cartoon. It's not always supposed to be logical, but we're right, here to talk about it, review it, whatever. And the thing with Doof in this is, yeah, when it first starts out, it doesn't seem like he's going to play that major of a role. And his role in this is not super major, but it does tie everything together, even though he's got his finger in a bowl of mints. but, you know, because he's sitting there like, okay, I'm going to just tell everybody that I've taken over the Tri-State area, and I'm going to kidnap, you know, the crossing guard, my garbage man, or my mailman, or whatever it was, and my brother, the mayor.
The mayor.
If we're not planning Mom's birthday party, I got to go. Yeah, us too.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure why we're here to begin with, so we're just gonna go.
Well, the reason, why I say Doof is kind of important for this is because we've known for the last 48 days, all the episodes that we've talked about, Doof doesn't always have the most evilest of intentions. He's sometimes his schemes are more spiteful, sometimes his schemes are really, really dumb, and it's not even really to take over the tri-state area, it's to self-service whatever his likes or dislikes are. In this, it's more so he has said he's going to do something, and he has given his brother, the mayor, an idea to make him the fall guy, because that's what happens. Roger doesn't want to be the fall guy, so he calls Doof in. It worked. It did. I'm in charge. And, you know, we go, you know, we've got Perry the Platypus carrying his own trap. We've got all this stuff. Doof ends up in the office there. And he realizes that, oh, wait, there's a supervillain outside doing my job for me. I need to go stop this. You know, so I didn't mind Doof's involvement here at all. And it wasn't as major as it normally is because you have White Goodman voicing Cock-a-Poo-Poo.
Oh, is it Ben Stiller?
Yeah. You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yeah. Dodge a wrench. That's funny.
So yeah, Doofenshmirtz's involvement, it's fine for me in this. It's not, you know, I don't know. I'm Heinz Doofenshmirtz, and I approve this evil message.
I approve the evil. It's just evil enough for approval.
Yep, absolutely.
We're okay with this evil message. That's cool.
So what else did or didn't you like about this one?
Are we just doing part one, or are we?
No, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Oh well, let me tell you, we haven't even gotten to the Dane Giraffe yet.
No, I know we haven't even gotten to the Dane Giraffe yet.
I know. And the Dane Giraffe and her evil, your evil sidekick, the Dane Gerbil. Is it Dan Gerbil or Dane Gerbil?
It's Dane.
Danger Gerbil.
It's
awesome.
Yeah.
They put her in a ball.
Somebody stole your bike.
That's right.
Oh, no. You did not just tell me to hench.
That's right. You did not just tell me to hench. You can go hench. That is funny.
Help, help. Giraffe girl has robbed me.
Oh, no. That's right. Giraffe girl has robbed me. I like hench. So as far as henching goes, you're not going to catch this reference, but Henchman 23. Henchman 23 is my favorite henchman.
Okay.
All right, so someone's going to know that reference and be like, fuck yeah, he is.
Is that kind of like 28475 or whatever Finn's number is? It's kind of like 2187 in Star Wars or something? Or
No, it's a Venture Brothers thing.
Oh, okay.
You don't watch Venture Brothers.
No, I don't watch Venture Brothers. No.
Oh, no, I totally got it wrong. It's not 23.
It's 27.
No, it's 21. So, no, it was funny. Originally, there was Henchman 21 and Henchman 24. And
so you split the difference and called it Henchman 23.
I totally split the difference and hit 23. He's my favorite. Actually, 21 or 24 died. And 21 became a little unhinged, right? And so, yeah, it's funny. He's a little unhinged. He's really geeky, so he's got like Wolverine claws, you know. And it's funny.
You paint that guy purple, give him a T-Rex head, and he will have a penchant for intelligent conversation. I cannot do a Megatron. I'm sorry. I do. Megatron's not here tonight. I wish he was, because that would be awesome. Calling him Henchman 21.
It's like I'm not talking to myself. I just have a penchant for intelligent conversation. I can't do it either.
Mm-hmm.
Henchman 21. I can't believe I said 23. It's, you know, honestly, it's been like 2 years since I've seen Venture Brothers, and they really need to come out with another season.
It's pretty damn bad when you screw up your own joke. Help, help, my nerd's stuck in a tree.
I was actually going to say that at the end. So
okay, we can
steal my line. All right, so the Beak has his own theme song, right?
Yep.
That's kind of cool.
Yep.
Were there other songs in here besides just the Beak?
Yes, there were. The Beak is the main one. Yeah. There were... Hail Dufania was an instrumental used in the background. I think it was during the scene that Doofenshmirtz was playing his monologue thing. Okay. And then Yippee-Ki-Yay.
It's been a while since I heard that.
Yippee-Ki-Yay is a background song from The Beak, to which Phineas and Ferb took to the house. Oh, it's the song when they do the test run for The Beak. That's what Yippee-Ki-Yay is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Yippee-Ki-Yay, Mr. Falcon.
Mr. Falcon. Yippee-Ki-Yay, Mr. Falcon. That's funny.
I know, right?
Love that. Yeah.
Yep.
Ah, makes me giggle.
Yep. So yeah, I love the beak two-parter. I think it's really fun.
So, you know, I like how Duke finally does something evil at the end. It's like he runs up and says, "I'm gonna steal this thing." Immediately messes it up. You know.
Well, Perry's the one that messes it up.
Perry did something evil.
Yeah, Perry. You know,
stole the beak suit.
Stole the beak suit and crashed into. Yeah.
He totally did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, technically, that's not Perry being evil. That's Perry utilizing equipment to go stop Doof, and that is how they actually. Sure, sure. That is how the fishtail worked in this episode with getting rid of the invent. I mean, okay, yeah, Phineas and Ferb get rid of the skate park of Doom thing when they do the whole AT-AT, you know, around the legs thing.
Yeah.
To the house to get rid of the cleanup for that. But then later, you know, Perry basically goes in, takes the beak suit, and flies off, and that's how it fishtails with getting rid of the suit.
Yeah. Yep. So it wraps up both storylines nicely.
Mm-hmm. There are no "oh, there you are" Perry lines in this.
Really?
Nope. And there is not
I didn't notice.
There's not a "too young" line either.
Huh. Well, at least they had "what you do" in.
Yep.
And Ferbert's Ferbert.
Ferbert.
His name is what? Ferbert. That's right, Ferbert. There's just so much going on here. They crammed. I felt like they crammed a whole lot of stuff into part one,
mm-hmm.
and then part two was just kind of a little slower. Mm. Like you didn't have them talking fast to cram in more jokes.
Yeah,
you know, it's almost like a regular episode. So I'm perfectly happy giving part one a 5.
Mm-hmm.
Part two, I don't know. I mean, I feel like part one really set up part two really well, and then part two maybe phoned in a little bit compared to part one. Still an excellent episode, but again, you got to compare it to the first story because they're all one story. But overall, still a 5.
Yeah, I mean, overall the whole thing, I really did enjoy it. I thought it was fun. I thought that, you know, the story was well done. And it does seem like they do fit a lot into that first part.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this one for me was they actually have a narrator guy.
They have a narrator guy.
Yeah, because the guy,
who's the narrator?
You know, I'll have to look later. I don't have the wiki pulled up. But it's one of those things where it opens up with, you know, suburban Danville. You know, Phineas and Ferb are doing this. And then at the end of part one, you know, tune in next time, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, at the end he's like, "Well, I guess that pretty much wraps it up. Narrator guy is out. Peace."
Peace. Like Candace.
Yeah.
Narrator guy's out.
Yeah. Overall, I did very much enjoy it. I'll probably give it a 4.5 overall.
Really?
Not a 5.
It's a beak, man. Come on.
I know.
The beak even comes back.
Yes, the beak comes back.
Get more beak later. Same beak time. Same beak channel.
Wow.
I shouldn't say that considering we just lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really shouldn't say that. Wow.
Sorry.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break and come back to close the show.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Andrea Littamendi, clinical psychologist.
And I'm Brian Ward, nerd, and we want to invite you to listen to our new podcast, The Arkham Sessions.
It's a podcast dedicated to the fun
and geeky
analysis of Batman the Animated Series, episode by episode.
We pay tribute to the writers and the stories of the animated series,
while also exploring the very real psychology behind Gotham's rogues.
And maybe even its heroes. All of this and more
each week
on The Arkham Sessions
at underthemaskonline.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure thing, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
We are back, and that's gonna do it for us for today. Tomorrow is day 50. Is everybody excited? We've gotten 50 days of summer so far. Yay!
Yay.
That also means there's only 10 podcast episodes left in season 2 for us. Episode 60 is the season 2 recap. So, heck what?
I said, holy cow.
Oh.
Is what I said.
That's not what I thought you said, but okay. Oh, Lord.
I was expressing my surprise and disbelief. That's what I said. Holy cow.
What? No surprise in Mortal Terror? Mostly terror. Mostly terror. All right. We're going to get out of here. Thank you for joining us here on the podcast organization without a cool acronym. There are several ways to get... Yes, thank you very much. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of other episode posts and all of other podcasts and all that other stuff. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TF2andMike. You can also follow at geekcastradio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter?
PeconCTMichael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us tomorrow when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next two episodes of Phineas and Ferb, those being She's the Mayor and the Lemonade Stand. Did you ever have a lemonade stand when you were a kid?
No, I couldn't afford lemonade.
Alrighty then. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with...
Pecan Court Michael.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, Ferb, take us out.
Hello, entire lower half of Amazing Superhero here. I guess there's no glory in thighs.
And so, things pretty much worked out, I guess. Narrator guy is out. Peace!